If you will, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you've already communicated to us. I thank you for the knowledge of your word that goes forth, even taking up an offering. Father, we thank you that your will is always expressed in our midst. And so today, Father, as we prepare to get into the word, may your people be blessed. May they hear what is being said and may they act on it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So I want you to remember this verse because we're going to look at it again as we're going on here. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are preparing or perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through the wisdom of the world, I just put that in there, through the wisdom of the world, did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message, which is the cross, preached to save those who believe. Whew. So now, when we're reading these verses, we got to understand something. That the wisdom of this world, if you're involved in it, then, and moved by it, and the cross to you is foolishness, that means that person cannot come to the knowledge of the wisdom of God. Because there's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. Every election that comes along, we're plagued with election time. We see it on TV, we hear it on the radio. And I don't know about you guys, but this year is the worst that I've ever seen it. It is the worst that I've ever seen it. It's getting more violent as the elections are going along. It's getting so bad to the point that now the voters are rallying whom you should support. And there's fist fights, there's arguments, there's hatred. Something's wrong. And the thing that's so sad about it is I see believers caught up in it. And that should not be, because we're ambassadors not of the kingdom of this world nor the wisdom of this world, but we're ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because when we got saved and born again, we became citizens of heaven and we have been extracted from the influence of this world. Now, whether you realize or not, we are ambassadors for Christ. Paul even said that. He said, for we are ambassadors. And one of the things in the trial of Jesus that's well covered is the fact that he seemed to have no concern whatsoever for the rule that the natural Jew was under, which was the Roman Empire. And so that was one of the complaints they had. And another one is Rome, the Roman rule, had heard about Jesus and wondered if Jesus was meant to appear to destroy Roman rule. That's what they wanted to know. And of course, Jesus said, no, I did not come to even deal with Roman rule. I come to introduce a new kingdom, a brand new kingdom. And that's the kingdom I'm building. Matter of fact, the Jews did not even receive him nor understood where he was coming from. And one day they came to him and says, okay, if you're not of this world and you're born a Jew, but you're not of this world, we understand that you're supposed to pay taxes. So if you're born Jew, you're committed to pay taxes. How come you're not paying your taxes? And of course, you know the story. Jesus said, oh, Peter, go down and get my taxes out of a fish. Well, why did Jesus do that? He didn't want to sit there and argue with him whether he had a right or not to pay taxes. Because part of the renewing of the mind is that you understand that there's a part of you that is to be submitted to the government of this world as well to the government of the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus said, yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm a Jew. I was born in the land, but I'm not of this world, so I'll pay my taxes. Thank you. And so he went and paid taxes. Boy, can you imagine the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, how irritated they got with Jesus? Because every time they tried to put him in the corner, they found out they were in a roundhouse with him. There was no corners to his building. And so here he says something that's very interesting. He talks about the wisdom of this world and then the wisdom that is not of this world. And so when you find in a lot of your places in translations of wisdom, you'll find that there are two wisdoms mentioned throughout the scriptures. And that is the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of the kingdom of God. Now, if I had a message to put on this tape today, I have it right here. And I'm curious as to how you would think about it. What is spiritual growth? What is spiritual growth? That comes with another question. And of course, you all can answer that, right? Here's the other question. And its purpose. What is spiritual growth and its purpose? Shall I repeat that? What is spiritual growth and its purpose? Now, I'm sad to say that there's a part of the Christian society that kind of lumps the wisdom of the world in with the wisdom of God. And do I have a problem with that? No, not really. Providing they know where the wisdom of the world begins and ends, and the wisdom of God begins and never ends. And so, if you had a title to put on this message today, what is spiritual growth and its purpose? Now, if you notice, let's read on here. For since in the wisdom of the world through wisdom did not know God, and it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, what was the foolishness of the message? You found it in verse 18 when we started reading this. It is the message of the cross. It is a message of the cross. For Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, the message of the cross, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. He goes on to say, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. Notice it said, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now notice verse 25. I want you to get this. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, can you imagine what verse 25, where it's coming from? Here's where he's coming from. The human viewpoint of wisdom, apart from God's wisdom, cannot be understood. I have been doing a deep study, not only on the book of Revelations, but covering the history of the inception of the church clear up to present day. And as I'm beginning to get into understanding a little bit about church history and when the church began to move out of the charismatic realm and into the organizational realm, I began to realize very quickly that there were some things that were actually being missed according to the understanding of the foundation that the apostles laid in Scripture. I begin to realize that the more I begin to study about the history of church, a lot of it is what I call a waste of good humanity's time. Why? Because a lot of things that were going off in their head really didn't need to go off there. If they just go back to the beginning of the inception of the church, it would clear up a whole lot of confusion. Because I have come to the conclusion that natural man cannot understand the wisdom of God. He's dumb when it comes to the kingdom of God. If he grows in the wisdom of the world and yet is not growing in the wisdom of God, what would balance this guy out? And so we want to know, what does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to be spiritual? What is its purpose? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Thank God Adam had been born into this world as a tripart being. Spirit, soul, body. Thank God he had a spirit. Thank God he had a soul that housed itself in the tent called body. Thank God. Because it means that man was redeemable. If he didn't have a spirit and soul, he would not have been redeemable. Because God had to do something that the world does not understand anything about. And that is that if man had the potential to fall, God had the potential to redeem him. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the devil comes up with a problem, God, the answer, was here first. Good news, huh? You know, all of us get caught in a problem. Oh, what am I going to do? Well, I got news for you. You can rejoice and jump up down and shout for joy because you have a heavenly Father that is called answer to any problem that was here before your problem occurred. Can you imagine a problem hitting you and you go into God with the problem and God says, I have no idea how you're going to get out of this one. If that's the case, it's all right for you to go home prematurely. Isn't that funny how we come down to the road of time and we find an end to it? And God says, no, there's no end. There's no end. Keep going. It's just, you don't understand. What, you got something in your way? Yeah, you have no idea. Well, say to it, get out of the way. God didn't call you into his kingdom to neutralize you. He called you into the kingdom for you to progress. Go forward. Succeed. You know what I mean? Because here's what spirituality is really all about and its purpose. Here it is. Are you ready? You might want to write this down because it might skip your thinking. Okay? To live out of the flesh. My Bible tells me, according to Romans 8, very clear. If you live out of your flesh, you're about ready to die again. Meaning that from 5, 6, and 7, he is telling us how we got out of death. And then if we turn around and walk back to our flesh, now you're ready to croak again. And he says, here's how you can escape being controlled by premature death. You can live out what God has asked you to do. And every one of you in this building are a member of the body of Christ, and God has an assignment for you. It's your job to find that. Not mine. Yours. Hallelujah. Now, some ministers seem to think they have the right to lay hands on somebody and call them into a ministry. Well, you know, Kenneth Hagin said, when you do that kind of stuff, you're treading on grounds that belong to the Lord. The Lord speaks to a man's heart first. If I lay hands on you and say, thus saith the Lord God, you do what I called you to do. Because I called you to do such and such. You better have already had that on the inside of you. And you were saying, yes, amen, I know what you're talking about. But if you lay hands on somebody and tell them, thus saith the Lord, you're called to do this and that. And they go, huh? Yeah. Then you're violating a principle that you have no business doing. Somebody said, how many people have you laid hands on and called them into the ministry? You guys think about it. How many since I started this church? Not one. Why? Because God's never told me. Have I ever confirmed a calling that was on a person's life? Absolutely, I have done it. But I've never done it publicly, I've done it in private. But you got to be careful when it comes to the wisdom of this world and mixing it with the wisdom of God. Because they don't mix. He says it right here, they do not mix. Now, you know, a lot of us, I'm a contextual teacher. It means that when I go into a theme in the Bible, I look for the beginning of the theme and the end of the theme so that I have the full text of what's being said before I jump to another theme. And believe it or not, there is no such thing as rabbit trails. Everybody said, well, Paul went on rabbit trails. You don't understand rabbit trails. Rabbit trails, what we call rabbit trails, are not really rabbit trails. They're explanation in words that we can relate to and understand. But they do not deviate from the text. They're still saying the same thing. Kenneth Hagin always taught what people call rabbit trails. Isn't that right? Lonnie sat under him. I sat under him. And I've learned how to listen to Kenneth Hagin by the stories he tells in the text that he's speaking of. And he gives me the answer in the story to the text that he's talking about. And if you don't pick that up, Harold, you know that as well as I do. You've been with him ever since I have. And so isn't that how he teaches? And if you don't pick it up in the story, you go, oh, what was he talking about? He started off talking on this subject and ended up over here in a rabbit trail talking about rabbits and tortoises racing. You know what I tell people like that? I say, you know what you need to do? You need to get some Q-tips and clean your ears out. Why? Because you missed the whole subject of what he was saying. I mean, I brought a brother from our church with me to Rhema. We went into the classrooms, and Kenneth Hagin was the big classroom, Dad Hagin, and he got to talking on apostles and how they were called. And my friend next to me goes, huh? And so he goes into this rabbit trail, and then he finishes it, and I said, oh, man, I know exactly what he's talking. Glory to God, I never saw that before. And so my friend hits me, and he says, the reason I'm saying my friend is I don't want you to all know who it was. Anyway, thank God he's no longer here. Anyway, so he goes, well, you know, he was saying this, and then we're on this rabbit trail. And I went, oh, well, here, and he said, just a minute, I don't believe this and this and connecting with this and this. And I'm going to say, I wanted to tell him, yeah, but you didn't hear the story. He says, I'm going up there and confront him. You're going to what? I'm going to go up there and confront him. Oh, I know what that's like. Because I've seen Kenneth Hagin confronted by idiots. And so when he said that, I went, I got down in the seat. I didn't want nobody to see me with him, my friend. And so when they dismissed the classroom, I got up and went out into the hallway and stood there and looked around the corner. And I seen my friend go up to him. And Dad Hagin was sitting there like this. And Dad Hagin goes, walks off. So my friend comes up, says, you know what he did? He didn't even answer me. He walked off. And I was thinking, I don't blame him. But I didn't say that to him. So we get in the car and we're driving back to our hotel. And he got all calmed down and he was relaxed. And I said, can I share something with you? Well, yeah. Can I explain to you where he was coming from? And he goes, yeah, you can explain to me. I said, well, are you willing to listen where I'm going to come from? Or are you going to jump up? And he said, no, I'll listen to where you're coming from. I said, okay. And so I explained to him very simply, where I was coming from. And he goes, well, I believe that. And I said, you do? He was another guy that needed a Q-tip. Because you know, a lot of people hear with an attitude rather than wanting to take what they hear and see if it applies alongside them. Right. It's how you receive the word that's important to God. Some people come in here and somebody already taught them something, and I'll say something that's totally opposite, and they'll get up and leave. Why? Because it wasn't according to what I'd been taught. Well, you know something? Give everybody the opportunity to stand on their soapbox without judging him first. Hear where they're coming from, then make a decision whether it's right or wrong. But at least listen, pay attention to them. Don't shut somebody off that might be changing a little deception or a little wrong teaching or something that might make things a little more accurate through the Word of God. Because people, how many of you can say in this room that you have a soul? Hallelujah. Some of you didn't raise your hands, but that's all right. I understand. When you get a soul, you'll raise your hand. So I could put it this way. How many of you in this room have a mind? Well, every one of us have a mind, you know. But not all of us are on the same channel. Some people don't know how to be on the same channel. If you sit and watch them, especially with the channel changer in their hand, they'll sit there and watch a show and they'll go, chick. And they're watching this other show and then they'll click back. Chick. And finally, one day I looked at I better not say. I looked at my friend and I said, why are you changing the channel? He says, well, I like both the shows and I wanted to see how the one overcomes over this one. And I went, brother, you need to learn how to focus. You know, and most of us, when we come into a service, we're sitting there and listening to the Holy Ghost speak out from the pulpit, and you're sitting there and you're letting your carnal mind interrupt you. Well, how do you know it's the carnal mind? Because why would the Holy Spirit interrupt himself? Well, honey, you think, what makes you think you're the Holy Ghost? I don't think I'm the Holy Ghost. But I think I got something to say biblically. Amen. You know, and if it ain't biblically, don't listen to it. Let your carnal mind kick in. But you got to pay attention. And that's how I receive the word when I meditate on it. I don't let my other mind tell me what to do. I keep it open to try to figure out what's being said. Now watch this. In verse 26, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now I want you to notice what verse 26 is saying. Are you ready? You might want to write this down. Verse 26 is saying, who God does not call to promote his wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of the world knew not the wisdom of God, because by the wisdom of the world, you cannot know God. And so right away, Paul wanted to establish something about where the wisdom of God comes from. And so in verse 26, he says, this is where you will not find the wisdom of God coming from. And here it is. Here's one person that God's wisdom does not come through. And that is someone who is called wise. This is the word sophos, which literally means one who has a lot of insight, one who has a lot of wisdom. He's very educated in the things of the world. He's one who trusts in his own mind. I've never met a minister like that in my life. Never have. Sure. I met a lot of ministers. And I can tell you the ones who got their head in the way. Well, I better not say that. Anyway. Just head stuff. And then he says that these wise people, it's all wisdom according to the flesh. Read it in your verse. It says according to the flesh. Now notice what he says next. Not many mighty. And this is dunatos, and it means those of high offices, those who stand in ruler positions like governors and presidents and vice presidents and these kind of men, these who stand in huge offices. He's saying that these high offices of government rulers and things like that, you won't find the wisdom of God coming through them. Now, will the wisdom of God to go to them? Of course, the wisdom of God can go to anybody. But he's saying, you won't find the wisdom of God coming out of these world rulers. Now, we're frustrated in this election coming up. Oh, this one's the best one. And oh, this one's over here. I mean, we don't know nothing about their backgrounds at all. Only what the news media say. And to sit and listen to the news media, they're just trying to put in somebody that they favor. Then we want to know why the church is not, their votes don't have the fire that they should have. Because you shouldn't be listening to the TV about this stuff. You should be sitting there listening to God who to vote for. Hello? Now, my wife and I, we have a rule in our house. We're not going to change it. And it makes me sick to realize that in the last 15 years, I had to get to a place in my life where I realized I cannot allow the commercials to voice their opinion in my home. And Sue and I developed a policy just recently. We mute the commercials. If the news is going on and they start slam dunking, we mute the slam dunks. Why? Because we don't want them infiltrating our mind. Now I want to tell you something, Pete. I don't know whether you realize or not, but the commercials have turned X-rated. I'm sitting there tired of this sex thing always going on where your little kids in your house, when you have little kids in your house, you mute them commercials. I'm telling you, do it, because your kids are in that environment and they start hearing that stuff and then they start asking you questions. My grandbaby one time came to me and said, Papa, what's an erection? They had no business asking me that. And I asked her, I said, where did you hear that, honey? She said, on TV. That should not be voiced in our house. You know, we wonder why the world is so addicted to prescription drugs. Because you got them going on your TV and your radio 24/7 that you got to have them. But if you listen to the wisdom of the world, that's the most stupidest advertisements I ever heard. If you take this pill so that your little kidney can relive, but the rest of your body, if it has a reaction, your heart fails and, you know, your other kidney dies and you get high blood pressure, goes through the roof and blows your head off. Well, what in the world does it matter whether one kidney croaks or not? It's stupid. When you think of the logic of it, it's stupid. They sit there and try to sell a pill for one part of your body, but the rest could disintegrate. So it's like telling me, take this medicine so you croak quicker. That's how I read it. So I just shut it off. And it's getting so bad now, I have to wait almost 5 minutes in between the commercials just to finish the program. Now, he says in verse 26, this is not how the wisdom of God comes. It doesn't come through high officials. And he says, and not many noble. What does that mean? One who are, actually the Greek word here literally means one who has come through the genes of nobility. The ones of the upper crest of society. The wisdom of God don't come through those places. Matter of fact, Paul says when you get saved, the position that you were called in, remain there until God gets His wisdom into you before you make any move. Said 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where you're called, remain in it. I've shown some people when they get called, now God is validating, get rid of the mate I'm connected to. Now wait until you get the wisdom of God flowing in you before you make any moves of where you were called. You follow what I'm saying? Now, he says in verse 27, 28, and 29, let's read him. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, he's telling you why God's wisdom doesn't come through those other three avenues. Because the wisdom of God is doing what to the same type of people? He's saying the base things of the world and the things which despise God, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Glory to God. So where does His wisdom come from? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Seeing how, what is spiritual growth? And what is its purpose? Here it goes. This is really good. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, that the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, here's how and the purpose of why it's important to know what wisdom you have to rely on. Here's why. Because when God's wisdom comes, the first thing He does with His wisdom, He declares a position that you have been placed in. Well, I don't feel righteous. It don't matter what you feel. Well, I don't think right. It don't matter what you think. Because this righteousness is what God gives you, regardless of you. But you don't understand. I don't care what position you're in. I don't care where you've been found in Him. The place that He called you is a place that He also gave you righteousness. Because if He didn't give you righteousness, guess what? You need it. You need righteousness. Why? Because if you're going to walk in Him, you've got to be accepted by Him. Well, what if I sin? It didn't say, according to you not sinning, that He declared you righteous. He declared you righteous while you were still a sinner. Oh, yeah. You know why you cannot move into what God has called you to be? It's because of your own personal opinion of yourself. When John told me that, I said, touche, John, I wish I'd have thought of it. John looked at me and he said, you know what, I wouldn't have a problem with what God has called me if I didn't have my own opinion get in my way. It has robbed me more of what God has called me than what I think of myself. Absolutely. People, God didn't come down and say, oh my gosh, look at that little, what's your name? Huh? Chun? God didn't come down and say, Chun, you have been such a perfect little gal. I'm going to declare you righteous, providing you stay in that place. No, He didn't put the righteousness back on you for your responsibility. He made Chun what she is, righteous. You're righteous. Amen. That means if somebody comes and says you're not, you can say, but I am. And if they say, no, you're not, you say, yes, I am. And now, what authority do you call yourself righteous? Him. He called me righteous. If you got a problem with me being called righteous, go to Him. That's right. Now, notice what He says. When He called you righteous, look at, and sanctified. Sanctification. His wisdom not only declares what you are, but His wisdom now will do something for you. He will sanctify you. How? Set you apart. From what? From what you was. Because how can He call you righteous if He doesn't? His wisdom will not therefore sanctify you in what He's called you to be. Righteous. And then the last part, I love, and redemption. What it literally, His wisdom tells you, you have been bought with a price. You belong to Him. You know, when Lonnie was up here prophesying, man, I about jumped out of my skin. And God was flowing through me, and this is what He was saying. And He went ahead and did His. That was great, Lonnie. I'm sitting here, and God's saying, come all over me. He's saying, you tell my people, you tell them that if they love me, they will love my people. And if they don't love my people, then they love more themselves than me, because I am a lover of my people. You're sanctified whether you like it or not. Because if you don't like it, you think in fleshly, brother and sister. Because God didn't call you a flesh righteous. No, there was an operation called put to death on the cross, your flesh. Hallelujah. Now watch this. This gets more powerful by the minute as you keep going on. But I want you to catch something here that you might not have ever caught again. Look at 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look, and in verse 1 through 15, are you ready? This is how God's wisdom comes and is developed in mankind. How it comes and how it is developed in mankind. Are you ready? My words, they are spirit and they are life. Mark that down. Paul said, I was with you in the same place that you're at, in weakness and fear and much trembling. He was talking about when he was in the wisdom of the world, he also was in the same place they were in. He had no strength. He had no position. Are you following me? And even the message of the cross was foolishness to him until he got saved. Are you following me? That's why he says, but he's going on and he's explaining to them, to the Corinthians, why the wisdom of God will declare who they are and how they will succeed. And you know who he's talking to? He's talking to a bunch of Corinthians that decided to take on the spirit of denominationalism and divide themselves up off of the foundation of Christ. And Paul said, you don't even know what you're doing. You're dividing Jesus up. Because your foundation should be built on Him. And so if you tear up the foundation and put it on another man, what have you accomplished? You're in a worse place than just being in the wisdom of the world. Now you've chopped up the Lord. And that's why church history, when I studied it, I go all the way through that garbage and all that unnecessary, go right to the heart of the letter again, and I hook it up because my wisdom comes through the Spirit of God and not the man. So, Paul says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And the word therefore we speak is not the word legos. It is the word laleo. It comes from the word glossolalio. It means, but we speak a language that has been given to us to draw out the mysteries of the living God. And some either backslid or demented, non-spiritual idiot who said, I'm of Christ, stood up and said, tongues are further than devil. I'm glad I'm not in his shoes. Because that will never be retracted from him. Now, notice what Paul says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen nor heard, nor have entered into wrong. And on the heart of a man came not up is the right translation in the Greek. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Not the upper crust of society. Not one who stands in a mighty office. Matter of fact, I've seen people in the upper crust of society claim to be the wisdom of God. They were nuts. I've seen those who stood in high places as rulers and stuff that literally had no wisdom of God coming out of them. And then I've seen those who think they are so sharp and yet so stupid. And it says, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Follow me, verse 10. But God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now follow me real close here. Notice the word Spirit there. It's got a capital S. Have you guys seen that? No thanks to our translators. It should not be there. It should be a little S. Why a little S and not a big S? Because in the Greek, it's all little S's. Or it's all big S's. But it's never distinguished until the translator gets a hold of it. And if he doesn't have the mind of Christ, he's a nut. And he gets us confused of what Spirit is being, he's referring to here. I'm going to tell you right now. How many of you know what the Holy Spirit is? Can anybody tell me what the Holy Spirit is? Let's say, who is God? Isn't He the planner? Okay, and who is Jesus? Isn't Jesus the executor of the planner? He said, because I did everything that God planned. I did it. Right? And who's the Holy Ghost? He's the one that reveals everything. The Holy Spirit, you might as well say, is the mind of God. Now, if that's the Holy Spirit with this capital S, then what he's saying here is that the Holy Spirit is the one who searches the deep things of himself. He is the mind of God. What does the Holy Spirit not get that God has if God has deep things that he needs to know about? The Holy Spirit is the mind of God. So it can't be referring to the Holy Spirit there. It has to be referring to a man's spirit. So if you want to search out the deep things of God, are you ready for this? It has to be your inner man that does the searching, not your outer man. Well, why is that? Well, what is the purpose of spirituality? What is spirituality? Paul's telling us right here, very plainly. He's saying that if you don't put the big S on there, put a little S. But God has revealed to us through the human, your born again spirit is what it should have been put there. Your born again spirit. For the born again spirit is what searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. So if you're not born again, your spirit only has the knowledge that your natural man has. Because you've got to get born again in order to understand the things of God, because it takes God's Spirit to reveal God's wisdom to you. It can't take the spirit of the world to reveal God's wisdom to the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's what he's saying there. At first I disagreed with Dave on this point, and I said, I think he's talking about the Holy Ghost. And finally it dawned on me, he can't be talking about the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost don't search out the deep things of himself. It's crazy. So I went into Greek and it's a little S. Even the Greek had it right. And it goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of the world. My translator's got a little S there. Wow, touche. Now, why would Paul sit there if the emphasis is on the Holy Ghost? First of all, the Holy Ghost got to search out the deep things of himself, then turn around and say, hey, I got more news for you. Are you ready? Here's some added news for you. Here goes. You ready? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, because it's the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you something. If I told you we have not received the spirit of the world, for we received the Holy Spirit, you'd all go, well, I knew that. Would you consider the Holy Spirit the spirit of the world? When that book was written, that epistle, it had already had church history. It already had some other epistles written. And so he wasn't sitting there and saying, now you have not received the spirit of the world, which is the Holy Spirit. Well, hey, where did the Holy Spirit come from? It came from God, right? No, he was saying, now your human spirit that got born from above was not from this world. Because the spirit of this world only knows the things of this world. It only knows the things of what he is as a natural man. But how you know the wisdom of God is because God got you born again. You got a spirit from God. Not the same spirit of Christ. You didn't get Christ's spirit. You got a spirit like his. And that the reason you got that spirit like his is so you can search out the deep things of God with your spiritual being. Woo! I've got to stretch you on this. Shing! I can't go back there in too deep. Good. I get a pogo stick next time you come to service. And when I bring a revelation, let yourself bounce up and catch it. Don't let it go over your head. Somebody asked, well, how do I catch it? With your meditator. Not your taters, your meditator. And he goes and says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know, that we might know, that we might know, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Woo! I know the clock. Big Ben is telling me to shut down. These things we also speak, the Leo again, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Are you ready for this? We're going to stop here. But see that last phrase, comparing spiritual thing with spiritual? But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, God had to get you born again so you could discern what he's saying. Why? Because before that you had the spirit of the world. And the spirit of the world only knows what the natural man knows. That's why children that are brought into the kingdom of God, they need to be saturated with the kingdom of God until they grow up into understanding that he is a God that can be searched out. But it has to be through a man's spirit. You, those of you who've been praying for your loved ones, your kids, your family around, see, the reason you haven't seen them come in yet is because they're trying to understand the kingdom of God through their natural man. And that ain't going to happen. You have to pray for them and get them to come on over and get saved so they have the spirit now that can understand the things of God. Whoo! Wow. 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 So he's saying this is how God's wisdom comes and is developed in mankind. What for? What is the reason for that? Because verse 16, he tells us very clearly the channels that God's wisdom has to come through. Notice verse 6, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and it's not referring to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have the mind. It's talking about when we get born again, we have the same spirit that Christ once had a human spirit that was birthed when he was birthed into this world. Are you following me? And because that spirit was born of God into this world, it had the capacity to know where he came from, because he was born as deity into this realm. Glory to God. And so he grew and waxed strong in the Lord. He discovered who he was through prophecy. He grew in the knowledge of God. He went one day, boop, I'm him. And he said, sacrifices, offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Whew. He came into this world. And the only way you and I are going to know it is as a spiritual being and understanding. Because he goes on and says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, they have discovered that 50% of the witnesses that we have, like 25,000 plus, are you ready for this? They don't have the word comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 50% of those witnesses have in their Bible comparing spiritual things with spiritual language. Laleo, tongues. That's why Satan hit every denomination as hard as he could to keep him from praying in tongues. Why? Because when you pray in tongues, you first of all have to be born again. And when you're born again, you have a right to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the completeness now of God's mind. Hallelujah. And you have the mind of Christ in you. That born again mind that was separated from the flesh. Glory to God. Because Jesus did something with that mind. He put it on the cross and he crucified it and said, don't pay no more attention to it. Don't listen to your left hand. Listen to your right hand. I didn't make a mistake. Left, right. You want to know why? I'm left-handed. I hope you guys begin to get a hold of this revelation. Because next week, next Sunday, when we come to church, we're going to talk about flipping houses. What? Flipping houses. What's that? Flipping a house. What it means to flip a house. How many of you guys watch Flipping Houses on TV? Boy, it's a flipping movie, show, isn't it? Hey, flipping houses. Well, I've learned a lot watching these people flip a house that you and I need to rethink spiritually on this. Did you guys get something here this morning? Stand up before we get another warning going here. Praise God. The Lord spoke something to me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We love your word. But, Father, we know that many of them do not perform that word. And Father, I have been seeking you wholeheartedly how to be the captain of this ship, where to take this body, how to affect more people. That's what I've been seeking the Lord out for. And now he's been giving me some instructions, which I'm not at liberty yet to share with you because I want to share it with my leaders first. But some things are going to be taking some changes for the better. We want to be more effective as a church. We're not growing like we should. And the kind of doctrine that we deal with will not be a good doctrine to pack the building out, because we have the body of flesh to contend with. So we have to have the mind of God, how to reach the spirit, the heart of a man, to see conversion take place. And so God has shown me some avenues by where we can have an audience that can grow into very specific and critical areas that will help them change their world. Because God wants people changed. Paul himself said when he was talking about this in 1 Corinthians, he very clearly defined the fact that he says that there has to be a change take place in order for the wisdom of God to begin to flow through the heart of a man. And he said, we didn't come to you in natural strength, but we came to you in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. And the word for demonstration means something that manifests itself. And that's a very unique word because in the Greek it means a lifting of the veil. Meaning that a veil had to be removed over the minds or the souls of men in order for the wisdom of God to be understood. And what he was talking about is your spirit had to be made into his likeness, separated from the body, so that that veil, your body, the outward man, would no longer have any place of authority in you, nor have any more input, and that your inner man now has to grow and develop. Are you following me? Because spiritual development is the only way that you can last for the purpose of God calling you. Now here's how most Christians look at their calling. As one time, and it's related to their existence now. But that's not why it is important to you understand your spiritual birthing. For you to be born again, spiritually, not physically, is so that you can not only learn the wisdom of God while you're here, but you will understand the wisdom of God for eternity. Because see, when you're called into the kingdom of God, you're not called into temporal life. You're called into eternal life. That's why it's important for you to know what it means to be spiritual. Because your spirituality is eternal life, not temporal. Hallelujah. Did you receive that? Now here's what I want to get to right now. There are many of you struggling with the influence of addiction. I know what it means. I can't say I've arrived. I still have some influences. But my addictions are less damaging. Are you following me? But for a person to say, I don't have any sin or I don't have any addiction, you're self-deceived. You need to be just like me, delivered, so that you have not one thing on your person that the enemy can grab a hold of to discredit you. Because you not only have to appease the conscience of God, you have to appease the conscience of men. And God told me, many of you are permitting things in your life that will not cut it with God if you know better. Because God spoke this to me before the service. Be ye holy as I am holy. And that is basically lost in the church today. Now, there are actually same sex wanting to find a church that will condone that, and they're finding them. Where does the holiness of God begin and end? Where does it? Is it because Satan's deceiving? No. God has opened himself up very fluently through his word, through ministers, throughout the ages. God has declared, has manifested his will. Now, we that are doing it now, during the age of grace, you better be careful, because your grace might send you to the wrong place. Because if he did not permit the angels and the others of missing the mark with God, he won't do it when you do despite to the grace, the generation of grace that has been given to the church. Are you following me? You want to know how the anointing of God's going to fall out of you, fall from you onto people? The salvation that I'll tell you how it's going to fall on people. It's going to fall on people from people who are set free from the body of flesh, so that the anointing of God can flow through humanity, broken humanity, so that the light of God's glorious gospel, which is in you, will shine out of you for a dying world. Now, I'm not going to give an altar call to the influence of addiction, but what we're going to do is we're going to pray about it for a whole week. And next Sunday, we're going to have communion. And what we're going to have communion about is what I introduced for you today. If you have an addiction, an influence, we can't pray that influence away. We could lay hands on you, rub all the hair off on your head. It won't make a difference of the influence. Why? Because you're not the influencer. Or you better not be. But you have one that influences you. And you can break him. Break his influence, but it's you that does it. So, between now and next Sunday, say to yourself, say this with me. Pastor Jan is giving us communion next Sunday. I'm going to break the things that does so easily beset me. And I'm preparing myself for that communion table. Ooh. Let's bow our heads. Father, if there be anybody here that can truthfully say, I came to church, but I'm not saved. I want to give my heart and life to you, Jesus. Then we want to make that available to you right here this morning. You can come forward and say the sinner's prayer and take that outer man and put him on the cross. Hallelujah. And be saved. If you've never been filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then don't let anyone rob you of that second act of the Holy Ghost. He'll come into your heart and mind and begin to work in it through that heavenly language called the language of your spirit, speaking in other tongues. And if you're here and you're struggling with physical things in your body, you can end that right now. Through what God has already provided for you. That is healing. So right now, while every head's bowed and everything, if you fit any one of those areas, feel free right now to step out and come forward, anybody. Praise God. Well, you guys are free. You can go home now, or you can go eat, or whatever it is.